Good afternoon, everybody. You're tuned to 103.2 Dublin City FM, and this is Europe Today, with your presenters for this week, Carmel O'Donoghue and myself, John Bourne. Coming up on the programme this week, we have extracts from the recent press statement by new President of the European Council, Donald Tusk, and NATO Secretary-General, Jens Stoltenberg, who met in Brussels yesterday to discuss the Russian destabilisation of the Ukraine. We'll also be hearing a statement from UNICEF's Deputy Executive Director, Yoga Brandt, about the EU's effort to promote and protect the rights of children, especially those affected by armed conflict. Carmel has our usual report on European issues, and we'll have some wonderful current French music for your enjoyment as well. So stay tuned to us here on 103.2 Dublin City FM for the next half an hour and your programme Europe Today. Irish students who study foreign languages have better overseas career prospects. That was the key message at a major education conference recently in NUI Galway. Titled Reforming Learning Driving Success, speakers included Fine Gael Senator Dr. Fidel Mahili Ames and former Education Minister Rory Quinn. Barbara Nolan, who heads up the EU office in Dublin, said learning a foreign language creates lots of career opportunities.
Ireland is the only EU country where it's not compulsory to learn a foreign language, which is pretty astonishing when you think that we are in a market now, access to, there are 28 member states of the European Union, and of course it would give a lot more opportunities to young people to live and work abroad if they speak another language.
The government has yet to ratify an international convention designed to better protect women who are victims of violence, including domestic violence. The Fine Gael MEP, Deirdre Clune, says the government needs to ratify the Istanbul Convention as soon as possible. She brought up the topic of violence against women in the European Parliament this week. The Istanbul Convention, which was established in 2011, is designed to provide a series of measures to combat violence against women. Ms. Clune says she's been in touch with the Minister for Justice to find out why it hasn't yet been ratified by Ireland.
It will ensure that the services that are there at the moment will be enhanced and will be put on a statutory basis to ensure that women who are victims of violence can be protected and they will have the proper services from the state in terms of counselling, in terms of protection, in terms of services for their children, in terms of housing facilities. They will be put in place. And it's as a modern nation, it's something we do need to do and to address, because it is an issue and it's a silent issue for many people.
The European Parliament recently rejected a motion of censure against the EU Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker and his team. 76 MEPs put forward the motion of no confidence against Mr. Juncker because of the allegations that emerged from the so-called Lux leaks. They were to do with recent media investigations into alleged secret tax deals between Luxembourg and international corporations. Mr. Juncker was Luxembourg's Prime Minister during the years these deals were done. The Sinn Féin MEP, Matt Carty, says he has little confidence in Mr. Juncker.
I don't have confidence in Jean-Claude Juncker to bring about the change in direction that Europe clearly needs, in my view. I do think that he has serious questions to answer, and I do think that we were right from the outset in opposing his candidature, because I believe that he is very much an inside man. He is representative of the austerity agenda that has crippled many communities in countries like Ireland, and I believe that we would be better to have a different commission head.
The Fine Gael MEP, Mairead McGuinness, says the motion of censure against Mr. Juncker is a sign of changing political times in the EU.
I believe it is probably going to be the state of the future, that we will continue to have these political grenades lobbed in on occasion to disrupt business, for people to make a strong political point. And it is the reality that we will have to deal with. I see it when I'm chairing the sessions. It is just a different political landscape. It is no different than the climate in Ireland politically at the moment, where there is so much division and uncertainty and insecurity around the future.
The Sinn Féin MEP, Lynn Boylan, says that media exaggeration and hysteria have distorted the true facts behind the recent anti-water protests in Jobstown. Ms. Boylan, who was speaking in the European Parliament in Strasbourg, says the media and others have focused too much attention on the protests in Tallaght.
I didn't like how Tallaght was portrayed by the media, but I do think that they blew it out of proportion completely. I mean, the footage that was shown of the protest in Jobstown was shown for days on end. It was debated on the radio stations, shown on the TV, but yet the first protest where 100,000 people marched in Dublin was hardly got a mention on the national airwaves. 100,000 people on the streets of Dublin, women, children, men, and not an instant of trouble, and that wasn't covered. So I think there's definitely an element there that are seeking out where there is an incident and are blowing it out of all proportion.
The President of the European Commission has been outlining details of a €300 billion investment plan for the EU. Jean-Claude Juncker recently gave the European Parliament more details of the EU investment fund. The European Commission's investment plan proposes leveraging €21 billion EU monies to generate a €315 billion investment boost for the EU. It's supposed to boost European economies and create job opportunities. The Fine Gael MEP Brian Hayes gave his views on the proposals.
The objective behind this Commission proposal, which is a radical plan, is to use existing funds to leverage private sector funds, and up to 315 billion or more over the next 3 or 4 years could be invested in the real economy in Europe right the way across the 28 member states, which could make a big difference on the investment side. When you consider that since 2008 in Ireland, we've lost 20% of private sector investment. Now, a lot of that was down to the fact we went into a programme. But as we come out of the programme, we now need to see replenishing of that private sector investment. So I see this as one of the means through which we can improve investment in Ireland if we get the projects from the Irish government. So we need to work hard with the government to make sure we get those projects.
Pope Francis received a sustained standing ovation following his address to the European Parliament in Strasbourg recently. The pontiff delivered a very strong address, which was, at times, very critical of contemporary Europe. During his address, His Holiness compared Europe to that of an infertile grandmother who lacked vibrancy. He told MEPs that the great ideas that once inspired Europe have been replaced by the bureaucratic technicalities of its institutions. He was scathing about Europe's consumerists and what he called its unsustainable selfish lifestyles, and he pleaded for Europe to think more about the need for dignity, human rights and general humanity. The Fine Gael MEP Sean Kelly gave his reaction to the Pope's address.
People were very receptive to what he had to say because he told the truth, and the sustained standing ovation he got at the end, I have never seen it in the European Parliament, we'll probably never see it again. Because he did point out that Europe came from World War II, where it put people at the centre. He said we had kind of lost our way with people being pushed aside. He spoke about the consumer society, people being disposed of when they were no longer useful, about the disease of loneliness, and we needed to get back to human dignity. And I think most people would agree with that.
Yesterday was EU Day for Persons with Disabilities, and a project carried out at NUI Galway looks set to influence policy for the disabled in EU member states. The Disability Rights Expanding Accessible Markets, or DREAM project, has looked at ways of improving rights for disabled people. Funded by under the EU Framework 7 Fund, the project explored technology, employment access and general life matters for those with disabilities. Dr. Eleanor Flynn of NUI Galway, who headed the project, says the information collated will now go to the EU for inclusion in disability policy across the European Union.
So the information goes back to the EU Commission, and in fact the EU Commission had analysed our project and highlighted it as a success story within the research programme because they're quite, I think, excited about what they can do with the findings, as well as to the governments of the relevant member states, and they may be used as well as giving them to civil society and disabled people's organisations who can use them in their advocacy and lobbying efforts.
The introduction of a common corporate tax rate across the European Union is unlikely, according to a senior EU official. The comments came as Northern Ireland may be granted special powers to determine its own corporate tax rate, which would be different to other regions within the UK. Ireland's corporate tax rate of 12.5% has helped this country enormously in attracting high-profile foreign companies. Addressing a conference in Dublin recently, Heinz Zurek, who was the European Union Director General on Tax and Customs, said a common EU corporate tax is unlikely, as all member states would have to agree to it.
I don't see this. First of all, We don't have this in any other place. We have a harmonized system of VAT, but the VAT rates differ in all the countries. So we have a minimum rate. And I can imagine that perhaps one day there is an agreement on a minimum rate, but this can only happen if all the member states would agree to do it.
One of the world's leading oceanographers says the waters off the west coast of Ireland have huge economic potential for this country and the globe. The comments were made at a special conference in Dublin Castle recently, where scientists from the US, Canada and the EU were discussing what's known as the Galway Statement. The Galway Statement is a major project which will map the terrain as well as plant and fish life in the Atlantic Ocean. Craig McLean of the US National Oceanic and Atmospheric Research Laboratory says Ireland is one of the leading countries in the world in ocean mapping, and it's a credit to the Irish people.
All of the submerged lands of Ireland have been mapped, and very few nations have done that so far. And we look forward to working in the mid-Atlantic and even the far and western parts of the Atlantic. But I think the leadership that Ireland has shown to completely map the submerged territories of your country is admirable, very respectable, and gives the Irish people firm information on how to manage the resources of the Irish territory.
Fallait que je m'en aille, je n'étais plus moi. Je suis tombée tellement bas que plus personne ne me voit. J'ai sombré dans l'anonymat, combattu.
Currently the biggest rising star in the French music scene. That's her latest hit, SOS.
This is Carmel O'Donoghue for Europe Today on 103.2 Dublin City FM. Recent Eurostat figures show that if you are disabled in Ireland, you don't stand the best chance of getting a job. The employment rate for people with disabilities was the second lowest in the EU at 30% of people with disabilities in employment in 2011. This is the second lowest rate in the EU after Hungary at 23%. In the EU as a whole, the employment rate for people with disabilities was 47%. Sweden had the highest, with 66% of people employed. The recent 2015 EU Annual Growth Survey focuses on putting Europe firmly back on a path of sustainable job creation and economic growth. It recommends pursuing an economic and social policy based on three main pillars, including a boost to investment, a renewed commitment to structural reforms, and the pursuit of fiscal responsibility. The annual EU Health at a Glance report reveals some interesting findings for Ireland, including that we eat the most vegetables and fruit in Europe. Over 90% of adults claimed that they ate vegetables on a daily basis, compared to the EU average of 58%. Ireland has the highest percentage of adults, at 83%, who considered their health to be good or very good, and the third lowest rate of road deaths per capita in the EU. EU health ministers recently discussed draft regulations, which were tabled by the European Commission. The proposed legislation aims to modernise the rules to encourage innovation and make sure that devices are safe and can be traded across the EU. It seeks to step up scrutiny of devices before they are placed on the market and tighten monitoring after they become available. The draft legislation covers a broad range of products, from plasters and pregnancy tests to X-ray machines and in vitro diagnostic products. The EU and Africa are doubling their research efforts to tackle AIDS, Ebola and other infectious diseases affecting sub-Saharan Africa. A record number of air passengers went through EU airports last year. That's according to a new Eurostat figures. 842 million passengers travelled by air in the EU last year, which was a rise of 1.7% compared with 2012. London Heathrow was the busiest airport in the EU, with over 72 million passengers. The European Commission has launched a public consultation on the review of the Working Time Directive. The main purpose of this consultation is to gather insights and contributions from the public in the context of the ongoing review and impact assessment process concerning the Working Time Directive and any changes to the directive. The consultation is open until the 15th of March next year. Are you looking to work in the EU? If so, you may be interested to hear that the EPSO, which stands for the European Personnel Selection Office, has just launched a competition to recruit assistants in the field of parliamentary works. Applicants must be EU citizens, have outstanding communication and organisational skills, and a good command of two official languages of the EU, the main language plus English, French or German. The deadline for applications is the 15th of January 2015. At 12 midday Brussels time. Finally, do you fancy seeing a photographic exhibition? Why not pop along to EU House on day 18 Dawson Street? The exhibition is running until the end of December. In cooperation with the Embassy of Slovenia in Ireland, the European Commission representation will host the exhibition featuring the work of renowned Slovenian photographer Arne Hodelik. The Slovenian salt pans are among the rarest in the world, where salt is produced using centuries-old processes involving entirely natural crystallizations, working by hand and employing tools and procedures used by our ancestors. This is Carmel O'Donoghue for Europe Today on 103.2 Dublin City FM.
Bro- broadcasting on 103.2. This is Dublin City FM.
Now you can follow Europe Today on Twitter.
NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg met with the new president of the European Council, Donald Tusk, at the headquarters of the Council in Brussels yesterday. The meeting took place only a few days into Mr. Tusk's new mandate. The two leaders discussed Russia's continued destabilization of Ukraine and their impact on Euro-Atlantic stability.
If we are to find a solution to the crisis, the Minsk agreement must be fulfilled. Every solution must be based on respect for Ukraine's independence, sovereignty and territorial integrity. Russia has a special responsibility here. It must withdraw from eastern Ukraine, stop supplying troops and equipment, allow for effective control of the border, and let the OSCE carry out its mission. The European Union fully supports the anti-ISIL coalition. I explained to Jens that the EU is working on a longer-term strategy for the region. This strategy will bring together the EU and member states and will also address the root causes of this regional crisis.
And Russia's actions continue to destabilize Ukraine and undermine Euro-Atlantic stability. Russia has violated fundamental principles that borders cannot be changed by force. Disputes should be settled by talks, not by tanks. And the era of spheres of influence is over. At the NATO summit in Wales, we agreed to stop the cuts in our defence budgets, gradually increase them when our economies recover, and to invest better by cooperating more. The European Council next year will be a crucial stepping stone to meeting this pledge. Thank you so much.
The UN Special Representative for Children and Armed Conflict and UNICEF welcomed the commitment of the European Parliament to end the recruitment and use of children and protect them from the impact of conflict. It is unacceptable that children continue to be recruited and used by armed forces, said UNICEF's Deputy Executive Director, Yoga Brandt. UNICEF appreciates the EU's efforts to promote and protect the rights of all children, especially those affected by armed conflict.
No, thank you very much. I think it's important to note that this is a partnership. And what UNICEF brings to the partnership is our presence at the field level. So we work both, you know, with governments concerned to help them build the capacity to deal with the issue of child soldiers. But obviously, we also work, you know, when children get demobilized to make sure that they get the support they need, the psychosocial support, you know, the catch-up education, and for children that are a little bit older, also the vocational opportunities to make sure that their reintegration into society is going well. And then we work together, of course, also to train the parties in the countries concerned, and on advocacy to actually help child recruitment from happening again.
Il mélange au fond de sa tasse du miel. Il regarde par le vasistas le ciel. À chaque fois que passe un avion, il se dit que c'est peut-être elle qui passe au-dessus de sa maison. On lui a dit qu'elle était au ciel. Il rêve couché sur un parquet, dans les bras de sa mère, dessiné à la craie. Tous les soirs en secret, ce dessin il le fait, trait pour trait, à partir d'un portrait. Il rêve couché sur un parquet, dans les bras de sa mère, dessiné à la craie. Tous les soirs en secret, ce dessin. Se débat avec le coriace, plus qu'à sa maîtresse. Pourquoi parent ne prend pas d'aise? Des câlins, il en voudrait tellement. Ne serait-ce qu'un parent. Il rêve couché sur un parquet, dans les bras de sa mère, dessiné à la craie. Tous les soirs en secret, ce dessin il le fait, trait pour trait, à partir d'un portrait. Il rêve couché sur un parquet, dans les bras de sa mère, dessiné à la craie. Tous les soirs en secret, ce dessin.
A fixture of the French music scene for more than two decades, Calogero is enjoying renewed success at the moment, and that's his latest offering, Le Portrait. Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for. I hope you've enjoyed the programme. Don't forget, if you want to get in contact with us, give us a ring on 865 8020, that's 865 8020, or you can text us on 087 977 1032. And don't forget to check out our support website platform, which is europetoday.ie. That'll have a podcast of today's programme and links to the various items that we've mentioned as well. Join us again here on 103.2 Dublin City FM at the same time next week, and your programme, Europe Today.